1243 at WJBC. I'm Mark Strauss, the TV guy on the radio, and you're listening to the WJBC Ag Hour. We're at 73 degrees, going up to 78, and joining us in the studio is our friend Don Meyer. He's a broker and auctioneer at Lee Realty in Bloomington, but he's also our history guru, our McLean County farm history man, and he has educated us on so many topics. And today, Don, you're here to talk about the relationship between the producers in McLean County and the railroad. The railroad was a revelation for many industries, not the least of which was agriculture.
Absolutely, both on the exporting of our products that we were growing, but also on the importing of some of the tools we needed to grow agriculture. Yes.
Yeah, I remember you a few weeks ago, we talked about the first Farm Progress show out here and how that gave farmers the opportunity to see products that they had never been exposed to before. And now, with the railroad, those products could be delivered.
That's right. And you know, many of the, as you look at the number of small towns we have in Illinois, in fact, my friends from out of state say, wow, you have more small towns. And of course, a lot of that was dictated by the railroads placing a siding about every 6 miles so that they could be in contact with the farmers, as well as if they needed to take on water for the steam trains, et cetera. But that really kind of was the predecessor of all the small towns, the small schools, and of course we're consolidating many of those over the years. But it all kind of relates together. But when you think about it, it's really difficult even for me to get my head around what it was like to market grain and livestock before the railroad. We had demand for the products in Chicago. We had demand for the product in Galena, Illinois, and demand for our product in Cincinnati, Ohio. And to think that we called them drovers, and in fact there was a magazine still called Drover's Journal. There were drovers that would be hired or could be local, and they would literally walk the animals to the markets. And the Funk family has many stories where they learned eventually to dribble corn from a wagon, and the hogs would follow the corn, and that's how they would lead the hogs to Cincinnati. I just can't imagine. That's a long distance by car, let alone with a group of animals on horseback.
You need a lot of corn to get to Cincinnati.
Well, I'm wondering, what large wagon did they really have? And you know, you think about driving animals to Chicago. I've got a story, if you don't mind me reading a few sentences. Isaac Funk's story that was in one of the history books that is written about McLean County. Isaac, this is in the winter of 1841-1842. Isaac Funk started for Chicago with 500 hogs. You can imagine corralling 500 hogs on the loose. While they made it to Livingston County and were overtaken by a sleet storm, and the ground became slippery and the animals couldn't proceed. Eventually it froze. They had lots of ice to deal with, and they had to use axes to cut through the ice so the animals could get a foothold. And they had to use many different devices, even tried tying some of the animals together, their legs together, kind of like a three-legged race, so the animals would prop each other up so they wouldn't fall down to get through that ice layers. But essentially, it was an 18-day delay getting through Livingston County on their way to Chicago. Normally, it was a 2 to 3 week trip driving these animals. And I just can't imagine, you know, the work it would be not only for the animals, but for also the people that were droving the livestock. And that was an Isaac Funk story. And just amazing to think of a man of his magnitude and spending that kind of time droving animals.
That must have been a miserable experience, that ice storm.
And to think, how do you stay warm yourself, let alone, you know, doing a day's work, just moving a few miles to the markets? Eventually, Funk became involved, and Funk family members were involved in the Chicago stockyards. And, of course, with the railroad, it was much easier to load locally and then ship the animals to the stockyards in Chicago. But the Funk family really was one of the principal folks that helped organize the meat market areas of Chicago. Fascinating to think about McLean County's influence.
Around what year are we talking about?
I don't know the exact year, but I know that Bill Case, the curator at the Funk Prairie Home, has many stories he shares. And in fact, he is from Chicago area himself and went back and found in a cornerstone of a building of one of the earliest stockyards where the Funk name is in there. So I don't know the specific years off the top of my head, but we're talking in the 1800s, obviously, mid-1800s sometime was when that was established. Once we got the railroads, it made that progress much more smoothly. On the grain side, of course, a lot of the grain didn't do you good. Locally, we had to have mills to grind the grain. And so without a lot of running water in McLean County, there were some local mills that were either horse-driven type mills. There was a creek, Moore's Mill, there's a historic site near McLean, the Moore's Mill site on the Sugar Creek, which was not always running fast enough to turn a mill, but to grind the grain. Some people went all the way over to Attica, Indiana, which was 120-mile distance, to grind their grain to bring back for use for their food for their families. There was a large mill, I believe, up by Ottawa, Illinois. Again, to me, that these are distant trips today by car, and to think that we're talking horse transportation, you know, wagons, very simple wagons at best, and this is what you use to feed your families. Even the grinding of grain was a chore because of the availability of grinding mills.
And you don't really have the vehicle to carry a large mass of grain product, so you're probably making multiple trips.
Right. Wooden wagon wheels, I'm presuming, and perhaps maybe steel later in the
century. But really, how much can you bring in a wagon?
Exactly right. Yeah, I mean, the wagon builders didn't come along until the mid-1800s as well. So it's really hard, you know, to go back in time and think about, well, you know, we could use railroads. Well, the railroads didn't arrive till about 1853, and we had farmers farming from the 1820s to 1853, and they were growing more than they needed, and they needed to find a home for it. And, you know, even to think of driving animals or droving animals from here to Peoria or Pekin, which is where some of the markets were, that's not an easy journey. And I have a hard time, as much as I grumble about my day job sometimes, it's like, wow, what would life have been like in agriculture looking to find a way to market your grain and your livestock?
Yeah, absolutely. It's
just hard to get your arms around, yeah.
And then so once the railroads became available to farmers, how quickly did they start using them?
They were very quickly adapted, and in fact, the stock cars became a part of the railroad. They would drop the cars at the siding to be loaded and then picked up by the next available train to be delivered. Eventually, we even had, as you get past the turn of the century into the 1920s, of course, you had the Farm Bureau that was organized in the 19-teens, and farmers began working together and forming cooperatives. And they were actually pooling their assets and hiring semi-trucks at that time. The truck industry picked up then in the 1920s. So when you look at droving the livestock to the railroads, to the transportation industry, fascinating to see how all that has changed over the years. Today, we just go to the grocery store and buy what we need. We don't even think about how it's grown. And when you think back, gosh, hasn't been that many years ago, some of those major league challenges. We've highlighted some of these stories in the McLean County Museum of History gallery. Tried to tell some of these stories and have some visuals of what life was like working with droving livestock. Yes.
You know, as you tell this, it occurs to me, and obviously it's very fundamental, you harvest late in the year, and you're doing all of these things during the worst possible conditions.
Yeah, it's wintertime conditions, yes. And one of the winters of the 1830s, many of the folks that I've read about talk about the great winter that year, where it basically snowed amazing amounts of snow. I'm not sure we had a way to measure it very well. It was described as several feet deep in the timber, which would obviously not be blown around in drifted snow. And there were cabins that were literally snowbound, and the families were having to hand grind their own grain in their home because they couldn't even leave their home during a stretch of about 6-week period. And you just think about survival, and we think about, oh, the road is closed because the snowplows are late today, and oh, I'm not going to get this done. Again, think back in time what that would have been like, just a survival mode. You know, you think about the basic needs, safety, survival, and those are critical during those early 1800s on farm life in McLean County.
It really puts in perspective the stories about families starving
and
not being able to survive because while they may have food, they don't have a way to prepare it.
That's right.
Or process it.
You know, and the earliest settlers settled along the edges of the timber. We had about 1/9 of McLean County was trees at that time. We've lost some of those leaves. We've cleared some of that land for farmland. But the desirable farm of the early settlement was right along the edges of the trees. Usually that was a little higher ground, so you weren't out in the swampy area. We've talked about drainage in McLean County before, but you were on the edges of the trees. The trees provided wood for the cabin, wood for heat, and also a bit of safety from prairie fires because, again, there's the risk of summer having a lightning strike or a campfire that gets wild and you can burn your entire farm up if you're not able to hide out in the trees. So fascinating to see how these jigsaw pieces fit together to me.
McLean County Agriculture and the Railroad. Don Meyer, a broker and auctioneer for Lee Realty. He also teaches at ISU, and he's our resident history guru. if I can call you that. We appreciate you coming here with these lessons for us.
It's always fun to kind of do some reminiscing and think about what life was like in different years.
Gives you some material, too, to give to your students.
Oh, they hear stories all the time, Mark. Yes, they get to hear stories of these historic moments.
All right. Don Meyer, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again in a few weeks.
Thank you, Mark.